Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 12, this evening, the book of Numbers, chapter number 12. Last week, I started a series, it's going to be about 6-7 weeks long, about a toxic believer, toxic believers that exist in the church. Last week, we dealt just a little bit with the one that is a gossiper, and how that can really spread forth into the church and to begin to cause a lot of problems. With that, some of the gossip is misinformation, and some lies are spread through those things. Feelings get hurt. People get upset. They get angry. And sometimes, eventually, people will leave the church because of those things. And the reason that we're going through this series is because we don't want to become a church that is become a toxic church, because there's many of those out there. And so tonight we're going to shift our focus into a different area tonight, and that is a critical believer. A critical believer is one who is toxic as well. And there's a lot of things that we're going to hopefully look at tonight, and we're going to see this in the book of Numbers chapter number 12. We're going to read a few, we're going to read this whole chapter here, and then when I get done reading, I'll have a word of prayer and we'll go through this. Verse number 12 of chapter number 1, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." I don't know if he caught this, but in those first two verses, you have seen gossip take place because you hear the word speak or spoke, spake, and then you're hearing the criticalness in these next few verses here. It says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were above upon the face of the earth, and the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father hath but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people were removed from Hazareth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are grateful that we're able to be here. I thank you, Lord, for your people who braved the cold weather. Some drove long distance. Lord, we have some that are watching now on YouTube. God, I pray that you'd be a blessing to each one that is listening to this message tonight. God, I pray that you'd again, use me. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance as we go through this word, your word, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As we all know, the world is full of criticism. And to be honest with you, we've all been a part of being critical to someone, some way, somehow. Every single one of us. So this message isn't just directed to one individual. It's directed to all of us. And I have a lot to learn from this, just as much as I had to learn last week from gossip that we dealt with. I don't know if you heard this story, but in Utah, there was an incident that just took place within the last couple of days. And it happened to deal with one individual being very critical of the service that he received while in the drive-thru lane of McDonald's. So I'm just going to give you the story of how a critical person can cause a lot of damage. So just bear with me for a few moments, then we'll get into the lesson here tonight. So this man, he pulls into the drive-thru. He's got two kids with him. One is the age of 4, the other one's the age of 3, boy and girl. And as he pulls through the drive-thru, he begins to give his order to the clerk on the other side. And once he gets his order done, he drives through like we all do. We do this every single day of our lives. And so he gets up there, and the order that he receives is wrong. We've all been there. We've all been disappointed when we've gotten somebody else's food. It's like, man, I didn't order that. I wasn't in a mood for that. I was in a mood for this. And then we'll complain, we'll murmur about it. Sometimes we'll throw a fit. We'll go inside and we'll have a hissy fit with a manager. And we'll tell the manager, you need to get your people together so that they can get people's orders right. That's what we normally do. And so this guy, he was not happy with it and began to criticize the help that was there. And so the clerk tried to help out this individual the best of their ability. That always doesn't happen. But they tried to help this individual out to the best of their ability. And they asked the man that was with his children, says, would you please pull up into a different stall so that we can still serve the other people that have just placed the order, and we're going to correct your order. Again, he's very critical, and he says, I'm not going anywhere. And so they try to talk with him, says, sir, you've got to go. You're holding up the line, and we'll take care of you. Just pull right up. His critical spirit then began to take a different action. And this is what he did. He pulled out a gun. All because his order was wrong. And he tells the clerk that he's not going anywhere. Don't forget there's a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old in the back seat. So naturally what they did, they called the cops. They told the cops exactly what was going on. Told somebody had a gun. The cops came, surrounded the vehicle, but before the cops got there, here's what this individual did. The one who was so critical of getting the wrong order and criticized every employee that was in there, he then turns around and he gives his loaded gun to his 4-year-old son. And he looks at his 4-year-old son and he says, son, shoot the cops. I kid you not. So as the policemen begin to roll up upon the scene right there, one officer begins to go towards the car. The guy comes out, and guess what the 4-year-old did? The 4-year-old pulled the trigger. Here's the amazing thing that took place here. The reaction of the cop was just astounding. Because he had a split second to make a life-changing decision. As that gun's being shot, he pushes the gun out of the way. He gets hit somehow in the arm. But at the same time, he's able to de-escalate the situation, and he begins to scream because there's other cops that were surrounding the area. And he begins to scream, it's a kid, it's a kid, it's a kid. Why would he do that? Because when you have a gun being shot at another officer, the officers are going to retaliate to save their lives. This all happened within a split second. Needless to say, the parents went off to jail. Folks, this happened because somebody was being critical. Critical of the service that they got. Folks, that's exactly what we do in a lot of our situations that we get in. If we're not happy with something, what do we normally do? We begin to criticize everything under the sun. Do you know where gossip stems from? Gossip stems from a person who has a critical spirit. That's exactly where it comes from. And when we get involved in the process of being critical, in a process of gossiping, we're there for this reason. We're there because we're critical. And folks, we do everything within our power, to be honest with you, to be very critical at times. You know, we're critical when it comes to the workforce. We'll criticize our bosses, our employers. And we'll criticize in ways as they begin to tell us to do a certain duty that they want us to fulfill that day. And they'll give you a step-by-step instruction to do this. And we'll throw fits and we'll criticize what they're wanting us to do. We criticize those things. We'll make fun of them. We'll even talk bad about them to our coworkers. Of course, it's never done to the face. But we'll do those things. We'll also begin to go into the next step of criticizing. And this is something that we're all familiar with, and this is in the sporting events. We've all sat on the bleachers. We've all have criticized the coaches. By the way, if you want to see a group of people that are critical, go to a Husker game or go to a Hawkeye game. And if it's not going a Hawkeye way or the Husker way, guess what you have in the stands? You have about 85,000 to 90,000 people that are going to criticize the coach for the calls that he made because his calls made them lose the game. They become the most critical people. We'll criticize the players because we'll say, well, they didn't put enough effort into the practice. They didn't listen to the coaches, and we'll become very critical. And our criticism towards those players can do a few things. One, it can cause them to hate the sport that they actually love playing. Two, it can give them a bitter spirit towards the ones who have become very critical towards them. It can do a few of those things. So not only do we do criticizing in the work world, not only criticize in the sports world, but we also become very critical in the home. Some of us will say some things that will leave scars either to our spouses or to our children because of our critical attitude. Not once looking within ourselves and seeing what's wrong with us, but always pointing blame to somebody else. And we're wrong in those areas. Sons and daughters will criticize their mom and dad. Maybe they have a curfew. They got to be in bed at a certain time, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. And they'll criticize their parents and say they're not fair. They don't know what they're doing. They're foolish. We become critical of those things. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a curfew today that I'm able to set myself. So it's good to go to bed at 8 o'clock sometimes. And I sit there and think, man, this is a good... Why did I ever give this up? But we become critical of those things. Parents will become critical and criticize their kids for not doing well in school. Things of those natures, that happens quite often. Last but not least, we become very critical in the church. We'll criticize how the chairs might be out of line. We'll criticize that there might be a spot in the carpet because the cleaning person didn't get a chance to clean it up because they're busy doing a lot of other chores around the church and they forgot that spot. All the meanwhile, we criticize about that, but we can care less if we put 1,000 fingerprints on the windows that took them 20 minutes for them to clean off. We'll criticize those things. We'll begin to criticize the pastor or the preacher for the messages that they preach. Oh, he was in too much depth, or he didn't have enough depth, or he was too long, or he is too short. Things of those nature. We'll criticize the pianist. Oh, she plays too loud, she plays too soft. will criticize the song leader. He waves his hands too much. He waves them not enough. You know what I'm getting at here? We are a people who have grown accustomed to being critical towards each other. And criticism is very toxic when it's in a body of believers. Unfortunately, we don't learn our lessons. We'll criticize somebody to another church member. Boy, that's a great testimony to have. To let people know that you think poorly of somebody else in a church. All while that's nothing more than a rebellious heart, a bad spirit, one that needs to be turned over to God. And we've become professionals at doing these things. All the while, not even examining our own faults. We think that we're high and mighty. We think we're perfect. We think we've arrived. And everyone else below us, they're the ones with the problems. Well, here in this story, we see something that begins to take place in the book of Numbers. And that is with Miriam and Aaron. Verse number one, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake." That's one of the first forms of somebody who is taking up the form of gossip. And so as they begin to speak, they begin to speak about somebody that was very close to them. And that was Moses. Not only Moses, but they're being very critical of the person that he married. Let's read this again. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman." You know what they are criticizing here, in case you're not seeing this? They're criticizing Moses because he married a black woman. That's what they were doing. Unfortunately, they were seeing color. I don't really care to see color in people, to be honest with you. It causes too much trouble. You know, if you're to look at my hands very closely, and my feet as well. I won't show you my feet. Matt's saying amen to that. But on my body, I've had something take place in the last few years that has begun to change the color of my skin. My pigmentation in certain areas of my body has become dead. And so I have certain spots on my body that have turned completely white. And the darker I get in the summertime, the whiter my spots become. Some might look at me and say, "Wow, that guy's strange." No, it's just my pigmentation. Folks, that's all color is. And so they begin to criticize the fact that she was not of their color, and they weren't going to be quiet about this. And so they begin to criticize in some areas. They begin to gossip. And when they begin to gossip, guess what? It begins to spread. And it becomes more toxic. And that's not what needs to take place. So here in verse number two, after they become very critical, here in verse number two, they kind of begin to boast about themselves. It says, "And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it." Verse number three, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Here's what takes place in verse number four. Because when you begin to think about this, when you begin to think about the toxicity that flows in churches at times, needs to be dealt with immediately. It shouldn't go underneath the covers and you wash your hands of it and say, okay, we're not going to deal with it. It's in the past. No, you got to deal with some things, even though it might make you feel uncomfortable. And so now you have the Lord here. Verse number 4 says, "And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation, and they three came out." I can just imagine this. Hey, Moses, Aaron, Miriam, get home right now. We're going to have a talk. Because there's a serious issue that's taking place. There's some gossiping that's going around. There's some criticism that's taking place. And I'm going to nip it in the bud. And so he begins to deal with them. Every time there is a situation that arises in a church, folks, it needs to be dealt with. Because if it's not dealt with, we saw the results last week of how we went through the book of Revelation, chapter number 8, and we heard of this thing called wormwood, and that wormwood came down into the earth, and it polluted a third of the water. There is no danger sign on there. Nobody said stay out. It didn't say polluted. It didn't say anything like that. Here's what happened. Men begin to go to that body of water, and they begin to drink it, and what happened? They died. That's what happens when something in the church becomes toxic. Things will die. Well, what do you mean things will die? Well, I'm going to name a few. Relationships. Relationships. And I can think of two group of people who it'll ruin. One, it's going to ruin a relationship between a body of believers. Two, it's going to ruin a relationship between you and God Almighty himself. So when it comes to these things, you have to nip it in the bud. And this is what the Lord is doing at this time. Verse number 5, and it says, "And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle." Again, I'm getting this picture. I'll never forget this picture as I rehearsed it a few weeks ago as I disobeyed my father years ago, and I ran out of these church doors and I came back, and when those windows were there at the time, I see him standing right there in the windows. But that was the time my father, that I was able to see for the first time in my life, my father demonstrating grace upon me. And here's what takes place. It says, "And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." He came in, gave a correction, and then he leaves. But here's what takes place. Verse number 10, it says, "And a cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow." There was consequences for this gossiping. There was consequences for this critical spirit that was displayed. And I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I don't have an answer for this. You're going to say, well, what happened to Aaron? Why was it Miriam? The only thing that I can come up logically in my head right now is Miriam was mentioned first. That's the only thing I can come up with. But here is what takes place. It says, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now, we might not think of it, nothing about it in our day and age right now, because a lot of us have probably never been around a person who's had leprosy. We've read some stories about leprous people, but when somebody became leprous during that time, they became an outcast. They were cast out into the city for this, to die. To die a miserable, lonely death. Not to have any contact with any individuals except for another leprous person that might come their way. And so Miriam, she became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron said unto Moses, verse number 11, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." So she became leprous, and then because of her leprosy, Aaron stepped in and asked Moses for Moses to talk to God about healing Miriam. And here's the result. Okay, she's going to be shunned for 7 days. But after that 7 days, she's able to come back in again. This story is pretty unique when you begin to think about what took place here. How it just started off very innocent. I can just imagine that Miriam and Aaron were just having a time with themselves, and they seen their brother and the marriage that just took place, and they're talking amongst themselves. But it doesn't stay amongst themselves. It gets out. You might say, "Well, Chad, why are you harping on that?" Because that can take place at Open Door Baptist Church, where you can become so critical that you can go up to any church member and begin to talk negative about another brother or sister in Christ. And because of that, people might leave. Well, why might they leave? Because they came here to escape from the world, not to have the world come in here. And folks, we're guilty of it, and shame on us for that. You might say, "Chad, you sound angry tonight." No, I'm not angry tonight. I do not want Open Door Baptist Church to fall into that category. Because we know what can happen when something toxic begins to come into a body of Christ. The good thing about that is, if it does happen, God can cleanse us of those things. Well, how do I know that? Because he says so in his word. You know, there have been some people who have gone through some horrific diseases. And some of those diseases, their blood becomes septic. Or sepsis, is that the right word? Meaning it's become toxic. And so what they have to do is purify that blood. They have to remove the old. As they remove it, it's purifying it. That's what a pastor has to do every 3 days. They're taking his blood and they're purifying it. That's what dialysis does. The same way that that's being cleansed and being purified, the Holy Spirit can step in and purify it. You don't think that'll happen? What happened here? What happened here? Did not the Holy Spirit step in? Did he not take charge of this situation? And did he not make it right? Folks, when we become a body that wants to become toxic, that wants to have a critical spirit, that wants to form into a gossiper, the Holy Spirit, because this is his church, this is not our church, this is his church, he will step in and he will purify it. And it might not be in ways that you might like. It might be harsh. How do I know that? Did you guys not read this book that I just read? Miriam, leprous, white as snow. Folks, I hope that you understand why I am bringing this forth in these next few weeks, because it's very obvious. As the Lord is working in our church, we know that there's somebody else working behind the scenes. And that's Satan himself. There's nothing more that he desires to get into a group of believers and begin to cause discord. By the way, I didn't say this earlier, but I'm saying it now. You become a person who is negative, who is critical, and you begin to pass that on to someone else through gossiping, guess what you're doing? You're sowing discord. You're sowing discord. And you're showing those other believers that unity in the body of Christ means nothing to you. That's what it's showing. But the devil would love to do anything to come in here and destroy what God has brought together. Not only will he do it in this body of believers, but as we go home, he'll do that in our homes as well. We're seeing that take place in our world today. And folks, I'm just here to give you a warning. Be on guard. Be on the lookout. Don't let your guard down. Because that's normally what happens. How does an enemy become defeated? Because they let their guard down. And the enemy will come in and will destroy them. So don't ever get lax. Stay on guard. Well, how can we stay on guard? Well, reading God's word is a good thing. That'll sharpen your tools. That'll sharpen your senses. That'll make you aware of those things that might come into the body of Christ. And you can be on alert. And we have ways to overcome these things. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't find those ways out, or we ignore those ways until the time happens. And that's unfortunate we do those things. So what do we do tonight? What's the antidote to this? Well, if you've been listening these last 3, 4, or 5 months, the antidote is this. Uncle Greg, love each other. Love each other. Be there for each other. Encourage one another. You say, well, I don't really know how to. You got to start somewhere. Start somewhere. Amen? Well, if we're on agreement tonight, say amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Before I close, we have a visitor with us tonight from Dubuque. Don't take off right away. Our job is to make him feel comfortable and make him feel welcome. The last thing I want him to do is go back home and say, that church at Open Door Baptist Church, they weren't friendly. So make yourself friendly to them, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I know that I have so much room that I need to grow in, because it's so easy to get caught up and to criticize others. God, it's not up to us to be so critical. Our job is to edify each other. Our job is to encourage each other. Our job is to get us all closer to the cross. And God, I pray that you just continue to work and bless. Be with our pastor. Give him strength. Give him healing in his body. We not only ask this for him, but we ask this for Mrs. Springer as well. And we love you tonight because you first loved us. In your name, amen.